نحمده نصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, with regards to his rahmah, mercy, he has kept his rahmah over and above his ghadab and adab. His mercy is over and above his punishment and adab. This is hadith, this is the glory of Allah, this is the sunnah of our controller, our malik, that how he has given his blessings and mercies to his makhluk, to his creation. That despite our disobediences, despite our sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even then kept such a system that Allah's rahmah, mercy, overwhelms and overpowers everything else. That for example, a person commits a sin, he disobeys Allah, then Allah ta'ala orders with regards to that deed, that do not record or write down that sin straight away. Rather, wait for a while. Wait for a while. Do not record that sin. That sin is then not recorded. And then there's a delay. Allah Ta'ala orders, wait for a while. Allah Ta'ala says, if there's a person, if he maybe he will have the thought, that person, that I should be better, I have done a very bad action, or have committed an error. So give that person a chance, Allah says. And then when that person does something good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, immediately record that good deed, that good action. How much Allah's karam and mercy there is. Look at this. So a person sins, Allah waits. And this is why Allah's rahmah, mercy, overwhelms and overpowers Allah's ghadab. It's more powerful, overwhelming. Always Allah Kareem is like this, that He, for everything, to start everything, to initiate everything, Allah has selected His names. In tasawwuf we call this tajalliyat-e asma, the magnificence of His names, that Allah Ta'ala has preferred first and foremost in the whole universe, with which the whole world and universe exists and rotates, everything, all the cycles. Allah Ta'ala has from all His names, the names that He has selected for this dunya, for the whole universe. Then Allah selected His three names. Allah, Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Nir-Rahim. In other words, so bis means to start. So everything in the universe, everything that starts, initiates, begins, everything begins with what? With Allah's rahmah, with Allah's mercy. That's why it has more weight. Look here, Bismillah. So this is Allah's selection, that I am Rabb, I'm the Creator. Why are you afraid? What are you scared of? What are you afraid of? That you are connected to Ar-Rahman. You are connected to Ar-Rahim, most glorious, most merciful, most glorious. So Allah Ta'ala, whenever He opens the doors, always the door of His mercy is open until death. What does death mean? That when a person, he starts to see the next world. This is how death is, isn't it? Yeah, when a person's about to die, then he can't see that we can't see in the world, is he breathing, not breathing. But how does the person who's dying know he's breathing? Sometimes it happens, isn't it? Someone dies, or somebody gets an injury, goes unconscious, or you got a pain, you say, oh, I'm dying. But there are signs of death, real death. And the sign of death is the person who is actually dying, then he starts to see the next world, the hereafter. The person who's dying. Then the way he was in the world, that's what he starts to see. Whilst he is dying, he will see the effects of his life. So when he starts to see that, then Allah Ta'ala stops his tongue from speaking. And Allah stops his deeds. Allah says, that's it, deeds locked and tongue locked. You can't add to this now and you can't reduce anything now. Finished, end of life. Imagine that time, tell me. About this, one word he will not be able to say anymore. He won't even be able to say Allah. Nothing at all can insan say anything. Or he cannot see. And when he starts to see the hereafter, when he starts to see that death is there, then those people who are next to him, the people of the world, the people who know him, for example, they're surprised, taken back. And sometimes the person who's dying starts to speak to them, with those people who are around him. But obviously the person, son, daughter, people who are with him, friends, etc., they're gone. And he's speaking, and they're around him, the person who's passing away. This time will come, my friends. This time will come. So it depends on how you've lived your life, how I've lived my life. Those same people, creation, will be in front of you. And if you were obedient, if you lived a good life, a nice life, if you lived the life loving Allah, a beloved life, a good life, then who will the people be? Then you will see very nice looking people. It is stated that very beautiful, handsome, nice, glamorous people come and surround you when you're dying. It was my uncle, my chacha. We were similar in age. And he was darvish, God-fearing, pious. And we studied together, grew up together. Our life was, we lived together, alongside each other. And he was in the army, military. And then he took a different turn, a turn of life, alhamdulillah. He gave the resignation to the army, and he was in a high post. And then straight, because he went to Makkah. He got the visa for Makkah. And he went to Jeddah, and then he became darvish, close to Allah. All life, then he just stayed there. When I used to go there on Umrah, etc., then we had a lot of friendship, good connection. He was my chacha, my uncle, and he'd be upset with me if I didn't stay in Jeddah. But sometimes I just bypass meeting him, because obviously it takes time. Obviously we think it's time wasting, they're going there, let me just go in straight to what I have to do. So there are other people who say, no, first to come to me, stay here, eat, drink, be my guest. They have their desire, their request. Obviously everyone has their desire to host. So we used to live together. And then he lived his life there, he had his sheikh there. So what I'm trying to say is that for some reason, the final moments and the final hours of his life, final days of his life, he came back to Pakistan. He didn't have any children. And I'm speaking about him today, mashallah, may Allah Ta'ala elevate his status. Used to have a lot of love between me and him, lot of love. Because we were similar in age. We were similar in age and same class, same everything. And he was my uncle, my chacha. So he became ill, and he was quite ill. I wasn't there at that time. And his nephew was sitting there. And his health went down, took a downward turn. And he was in hospital. And he was in a lot of pain, lot of pain. And then he said that I saw suddenly, what did my chacha do, his relative said, that what did he do then? Then he just turned and he said, open the door. I said, open the door. As soon as I opened the door, then he started to speak in Arabic. He said, because he lived his life there in the Middle East, and he started to speak in Arabic. He said, tafaddul hina, ya sheikh, hina, come here. And people are coming and he's seating them down. And he's hosting, welcome them, please come, sit here, you sit here. And he got up, like he's totally fresh and he's fine and healthy. And his nephew said, I got scared suddenly, what's happening to him here, what's he doing? And he said, it was a unique event that occurred at that time of his passing away. Then suddenly he lay down, and then he recited the kalima shahada. So there are many events like this I've seen. Such events I've seen, may Allah forgive. That a person who's dying, he says, who are these people who've come? These ugly people who are standing in front of me. Get them away from here. Get them out of here. Get them away from me. He says that from his tongue before passing away. So these are two paths that a human being has. We are living the life. We think we are so big. We think we have arrived to our destination. We think everything is here. We're here forever, we think. We are going to be here permanently. In reality, the house that I've left, the key is in my pocket. But in reality, In reality, that is not my place now. The key is with me, but I don't know, maybe from here my janazah might take place. Maybe there are accidents that take place on the road. Somebody has an accident somewhere else. So this is the understanding we should have, that when you leave a place, depart from a place, then you just turn back and look, that I don't know if I'm going to come back here now. I don't know if I'm going to come back here. But we are so determined and we think it's guaranteed, we have so much yaqeen, that I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back home, I'm going to break my fast and the keys in my pocket, and I've got full yaqeen on this point. But Allah Ta'ala's kitabs, this is not the glory of a believer, what you've left behind. Don't trust that you will go back there and you will get it again. This is a fact of life for a human being, I'm telling you this. This is the reality of life. The real purpose of life is that, forget that, where you've come from another country, America, Canada, or from India, or from Pakistan, or Bangladesh, you've come here, and we say, oh, I've left my country, I don't know if I'm going to go back again. You know, people, they talk like that, just formally, we don't believe that are we going to go back or not, am I going to arrive back there or not, can we go there or not, we just say this, just by the way. That's a lot of distance, though, physically, but I'm just talking about our homes here. Not one, there are thousands of events that take place, where the people are, home, they said, I'm coming back soon, make food for me. And he said this when he left, he told us this when he left, and he's left us now, he's left us, he's died now. People say this. Doesn't this happen or not? So, am I different from this world? Are you different from this world? Will this not happen to us? Can this not happen to us? Of course it can. Of course it can. So, we have to have yaqeen, belief. Man kana yuridu harthat آخرتي نزيد له في حرثه ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته. Allah has given us the choice. Allah has given us the choice. So this mindset, ideology, this is what a man has to develop and nurture and improve. His thinking. We have to give tabligh to our brain. We have to give invitation, but we need to set up our brain and thinking and way of thinking and approach. If we just think that, I don't know if I'm going to come back home. I've left home now. What I've left is not with me now. That I've left something in that room. I know I sit there. Will I come back and sit there? That's it. So the person who has this strong yaqeen, then they prepare before they leave home. Khuda hafiz. They say, salam alaikum. That, okay, let's see, maybe I won't come back. They say goodbye properly. I don't know if I'm going to get back. Will I lie down on that bed again? Will I be able to do this again? So, the two types of people have the conclusion at the end of their life. For some, for example, it happens, somebody's happy, he's seeing good people come to welcome him at death. Sometimes you have ugly people, horrible looking people. Why? Because the Quran has told this verse, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ. That whatever you want, Allah Ta'ala says, whatever you desire, then that Allah has left it to the human being to decide. Allah has left it to the human being to decide. Allah says, I leave it to you. That whatever you want, that is what I will enable for you and allow for you and give to you, destined to you. That if you want that, you want the field of the hereafter, you want to be good, if you want the harvest of your hereafter to be good, yes, so Allah says, to him who desires a harvest in the life to come, we shall grant an increase in his harvest. Yes, but if you want the dunya, Allah says, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا. But Allah says, but whereas to him who desires a harvest in this world, we may give something, but we'll have no share of the life to come. Allah says, this is Quran. So what a great invitation Allah has given to us in the Quran. That right now there are two pieces of work you need to do, two ways of thinking you need to develop. You need to either think and look towards this world or the hereafter. Allah says, whatever you desire, man kana yuridu harfa akhirah, if you desire the hereafter, a harvest in the life to come, then Allah says, I will grant an increase in that harvest. So Allah said that I will increase hereafter. Rather, Allah has included the world as well in this. Allah has included dunya as well in this. Subhanallah. It didn't just say in the hereafter. Allah says, to him who desires a harvest in the life to come, we shall grant an increase in his harvest. But Allah didn't say just in the hereafter. Allah says, if you want the hereafter, then don't worry about the dunya. Allah says, I'll help you in the hereafter and in this world as well. You get both then. So Allah hasn't restricted it. The half is just to the hereafter. I'll help you in the world as well, Allah says. That's what he means. But if you stop here and think, oh, if I desire the hereafter, I'll have to do this as well. I'll have to do that as well. I'll have to do this as well. And then obviously you'll have to prepare for the hereafter in accordance with the hereafter, isn't it? If you want to. You'll have to pray salah. Can't be the prayer at home. Then you'll have to do the preparation for the hereafter. Then if you do that preparation, which is the preparation for the hereafter, what's the salah for the hereafter that we need? Is it the prayer at home, or the prayer in the shop, or the prayer in the pavement? No, the preparation for the hereafter is the salah in congregation. Say subhanallah. So what will he do now? He'll try. He'll get up in the morning. He'll do wudu. And then he'll pray salah in congregation. So what's happening here? This is the preparation for the hereafter, alhamdulillah. Yes, so he's doing that action with which there's preparation for the hereafter. So in the life he has to do all the actions, he has to get married, have children, he'll have a wife, he'll run the shop, run the business. But that person's trend will be, his methodology will be that he will do all his actions in accordance with preparation for the hereafter. That his mind, his focus, his aim will be on the hereafter. That will dictate all of his actions. His thinking and his mental preparation will be for the hereafter. Allah doesn't say to him, don't get married. Because if you don't get married, how will you have children? How will the generation prosper? Allah has created you. You've got a stomach. Where will you eat from? Allah knows all of this. So you have to prepare for that as well. And obviously you have to live in a house. Allah will allow you to have a house. So you have these needs of the world, isn't it? So Allah hasn't stopped us from this, prohibited this. But the dialogue is the same. Man kana yuridu hartha al-akhirati nazidahu. Allah says, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا. But if you have desire for the harvest in this world, then your dunya won't increase or expand. Your dunya, your world will not increase. I'll definitely give you the world, Allah says. You'll get bread, I've given you a stomach, I'll give you a wife, children, I'll give you things. But how much will I give to you? The amount that is written in your destiny. The amount, and it, due to your desire, your dunya will not increase, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So here we get stuck. That Allah says that you can try as hard as you want, but you aren't going to get more than what I've written for you. You can run around as much as you want. I'm just telling you my dialect. That you can work hard and put extra effort in, no difference will it make. But the difference it will make for sure is that your hereafter will be destroyed. Your thinking is wrong. It's upside down. Doesn't matter how much you try. I have already written in your destiny that you will have a shop, you will go there, this is how much you will earn. If you try to get more money from here or there, you do fraud, etc. Then Allah says, I've got hisab, balance and equation. Then maybe I'll puncture your car, or you'll be a defect in your car, or break down, and then you'll spend money in that direction, or your tap will break, you'll have to spend the money on the plumbing. Or I'll give you another loss, and your money will get lost there. Whatever is in your destiny, is that what you're going to get, and that will stay with you. Say subhanAllah. So regularly you'll see, commonly, that people who prepare for the hereafter, then they have less losses in the dunya. Less losses in the dunya. Yes. They have very few losses. You'll see them. Their car keeps on driving. You see their house is okay. Never. There may be a little bit of defect over there. Yeah, obviously. You have to have a few ups and downs. But don't have that mass of issues that other person has who's mad in the dunya. Get more. Expand more. You know this more. This shows that you don't want the hereafter. You want the dunya, the world. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So all of this that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, He's given us this understanding. So Allah says that I go along with you according to your intention, your thinking. This Sahih Hadith, subhanAllah. So Allah says, whatever you want, I give that to you. SubhanAllah. That I don't want to pray, I don't want to do this. Allah says, fine, that's up to you, don't do that. Jibreel alayhi salam won't come, no angel will pick you up and take you to pray in congregation. He won't take your finger or hand and say, go and pray. It's your choice. It's up to you. You're going to die. Yes, and then you'll understand at the time of death. So we just need to do one thing here. We just need to do one thing. That we need to think about what is our desire. Allah Ta'ala is inviting us. Allah says, think about your desire. Yes, focus on that. And be honest and think that I'm going to be alive here. And it's better I live my life in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's direction and desire. That's it. And that's it. And then you will be successful. It's so easy, our deen. It's so simple. That, yeah, okay, fine. I have made this decision now that there's no one greater than Allah. I'll make friendship with Allah, be so much benefit in that. Oh, okay, I'll make this decision today that I live my life in accordance with Allah's desire and direction and guidance. That's it. And this is the intention. And then with this intention, Allah gives a guarantee. Allah Ta'ala gives a guarantee with this intention that when you make this intention, after that there will be dangers in your mind. Shaitan will deceive you, grab you. But one thing, remember, I promise to you, Allah says, I promise to you that إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, those who make friendship with me in my path, then they are my friends. They are muhsin. Allahu Akbar. Allah is indeed with the doers of good. There's a muhsin. There's one is a friend, and then muhsin is high level. One is a friend. Okay, Islam alaikum wa salam. But the muhsin is the friend who is always with you in the hard times as well. Subhanallah. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes, for example, you have a friend and he knows you're distressed, you're feeling down, he needs money. He says, what's the problem? He says, yaar, my business has gone down, I need money. He says, no problem, yaar, I'll give to you. Was this, he isn't just your friend, he's your muhsin. He's done good with you. He's done good with you. Yes, one is a friend, just friendship, you had an issue, problem. He says, okay, no worries, okay, you'll try. I can't help you out really, I can't do much for you. What's that? That's just a friend. No friend. But the muhsin, the really good friend, is that you're in distress, you've got problems, worries, anxiety, difficulties, then he'll help you according to his capacities. What does Allah say? Allah says, "In wa inna Allah lama al muhsinin." For Allah is indeed with the doers of good. Allah said, muhsin, I'm with you. So you tell me now, that should we be scared that, oh, if I do friendship with Allah, what will happen? Should we be scared of making friendship with Allah? So much foolishness of us. He said, well, I said that I will take you out of the traps and the difficulties. Then remember, Allah has also said in the Quran that I won't increase your dunya. If you try to increase it, I will take it out from another hole or direction. If you will make effort, others will take money. You will make effort, work hard and strive, and others will take your money and your funds because you took his money. Because that, for example, the manufacturer, you took his money, that person's money you took. So there's a cycle. So Allah Ta'ala then delivers and sends that money there to others. It's a cycle. Yes, that money, those funds, those people, the money that you've controlled or took, and that money we think is just going to stay in my pocket. No, it will not happen. So Allah Ta'ala increases issues or problems or gives illnesses or creates circumstances in a person's life. Yes? And then he doesn't understand that person. So if we develop this thinking that, okay, fine, just like Allah is advising, I'll live my life in that way, alhamdulillah. And how bad that Allah is saying that I'm with you and I will look after you, I will care for you. That's it. So those people, alhamdulillah, who in life, and they delve into their life nicely and accept it, embrace it, that I'm going to live my life with Allah, with Allah. Then when they depart from this world, then such nice events happen to them. Just like that example that Sahab was speaking in Arabic. He said, you sit here, you sit here, Sheikh, you sit here, Sheikh, you sit here, please Sheikh, you sit here. And they all came in the appearance of sheikhs, the angels, to take his life. Because he lived a good life. And they took him to where he's going to live forever. Yes, so much an envious life. What a great envious death of that person. Beautiful. But because he had made friendship with Allah. So the real result comes at that time, doesn't it? The real result. So this is Rahmah, mercy, Allah's mercy. Which we are in the final moments of Rahmah, because we are in the first third of Ramadan, which is the Ashra of Rahmah, and it's about to leave us. So Allah is inviting us in this Ashra of Rahmah. This first third of Ramadan, the first 10 days of mercy, Allah invites us. That's why Allah started with His mercy. Allah starts the day with His Rahmah as well. Listen, when in the hadith it states, isn't it, that when Allah descends to the lowest heaven, every morning whilst we're sleeping and we're tossing and turning, at that time Allah descends, subhanallah. And Allah calls out to His servant. Allah calls out. And that is not the time of laziness, that's the time of waking up. And that time when you're feeling sleepy, what is that sleepiness? That's the sleepiness of the dunya of the world. And those people feel more sleepy at that time who have a desire for the dunya. Oh, I need to go work, I need to do this as well, that way. They feel sleepy in the morning. And they're programming, they're planning ahead for the next day. Do you understand what I'm saying? But those who are preparing for the hereafter, alhamdulillah, their eyes open. Their eyes open. Allah says, تَتَجَانَفَ بِجُنُوبِهِمْ. Because they toss and turn during the night. When's that time? When's that moment coming? When should I get up? When's the morning coming? And when will we get up? They keep on tossing and turning and looking at the watch. Oh, this time here. Okay, there's 30 minutes here. It's not time yet. It's the case, isn't it? It happens with you, isn't it? You pious people. Oh, yaar, 15 minutes left now. Okay, then we'll get up. Okay, so what is that moment? What is that? At what clock is it that wakes you up? Which alarm? It's your preparation for the hereafter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He descends and He calls to us, and the voice comes to us, inside us. And the people who listen, they listen as well, alhamdulillah. They listen. In the ears the voice comes. In the ears, if you believe, sometimes it happens, Asif, suddenly I get up. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So when my eyes open, the voice comes in the ear. In the ear. I said, who's calling my name? My father used to say my name like this. Brothers, this is, you need to get the dirt out, just wax out of the ears just a little bit. That's all. Yes, then just think here, that just make this niyyah intention. I'll make friendship with Allah. Then He'll wake you up, He will feed you, He will sit you down, He will make you sleep, everything. What, and when He makes you sleep, that will be the good sleep. How much sleep will that be? I'll tell you this as well. Allahu Akbar. I'll tell you this information as well. You can experience this as well. Observe this. And today you can do this in these days. 15 minutes. Your whole nights of sleep Allah will give you in 15 minutes. And then He will get you to do the work of the Akhirah. Yes. And then you won't even pop up and down and feel sleepy. Yes. You won't shake. Am I right or am I wrong? Yes. All day He'll keep you awake. Make you work. Run the shop. Run your business. Drive the taxi. Alhamdulillah. Yes, and those 15 minutes it'll be such a sweet sleep, such a sweet sleep, that when you wake up you'll be totally fresh. This is, what is this? Allah Ta'ala puts a person to sleep, gives him sleep. And the person who sleeps according to his desires for the dunya, for the world, most definitely you can believe me, that even after 7-8 hours he'll be saying, oh yaar, my body's tired, exhausted. And he's complaining. I don't know, have I got blood pressure? Or should I go to the doctor? Shall I show myself to the doctor? I keep on tossing and turning. I don't get rest. I can't sleep. You hear this from people, don't you? Who are those people? That Allah Ta'ala is not allowing them to sleep. Because their timetable and program is wrong. Allah Ta'ala says that I am with you according to your desires. The timetable that Allah Ta'ala fixes, then the person runs with that timetable. You understand what I'm saying? He'll wake you up, keep you awake, give you food, He'll feed you as well. He'll give you to drink as well. Why? Because you know we say the people of the world, the man kana yuridu hartha al-akhirah, and then you've got man kana yuridu hartha dunya. Their stomachs don't fill. Their stomachs don't fill. If you've just eaten now, then you go to someone else's house, yaar, kia yaar, is there anything here? Make some samosas, yaar, is there no food? He's just eaten at home. Don't take bad what I'm saying. Don't take negative what I'm saying. Yes, even if he's giving you some food by mistake, samosas and halwa, then you'll clean that plate, inshallah, for sure. You won't stop, that person won't stop. Yeah, he forgets that I've just eaten from home. He'll remember that with difficulty. He'll forget that. Because he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to stop eating. Is there any more food, yaar, my friend? Yaar, whenever they'll come to your house, have you got any more food? Have you made something? Have you cooked something? What have you cooked? Orki, what else is there? Have you cooked something? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And the person who Allah Ta'ala feeds, subhanallah. The person who Allah Ta'ala feeds, Allah gives him half a piece of bread, half a chapati, and he says, yaar, my stomach's full. My stomach's full. You know, Maulana used to come, and you know I came here, and he just came recently actually, and I said, huh? When I saw him, I said, Maulana, what's happened here? He said, what? I said that you, physically, you know, he looked a little bit different. What can I say? I'll say, for example, you know, there's a saying that, you know what, the bad times have afflicted you. Looks like that, you know, maybe there's a difficulty that you're facing. He had totally shrunk. In other words, his weight had shrunk. Before, he had a stomach, and then he used to be more healthy. Then I wiped my eyes. I said, I'm feeling a bit dizzy when I see you. That I've seen you after a while, but suddenly you've gone slim. You know, after a while, if somebody's got health or weight and he suddenly goes very slim, then you get a bit scared. I said, what's happened? He said, Hazrat, I thought. I said, what do you think? He said, I don't want my stomach to go. I don't want my weight to go too much. So I had a stomach operation and I sealed my stomach. You know, people do that. They sew the stomach. Then he said, I can't eat more food now, only because now I've sealed it, I've shrank it, the space inside. I said, oh, Mawlana. Allah Ta'ala created you. I didn't say this to him. I'm just thinking myself. That Allah gave you a body, Allah gave you kidneys, Allah gave you the heart, Allah gave you life. All of this creation, Allah manufactured your body. This is according to your body. Allah created everything in a ratio, proportionally. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So it's not this that Allah has given you some other everything like in disproportionately, that now Allah has made you a body, given you a body, Allah has given you life, that your weight will be this much, this is how much you will weigh, you will live like this, put the kidney this size, put the liver and this size in the body, everything proportionately, the organs, and give him the limbs, all the parts of the body, and you are doing dhulm with your body, that you shrank it from within, you've cut it, you've stopped it functioning. So then that puts an imbalance to the rest of the system of the body. Ah, yes, if you wanted to make an improvement, then, for example, man kana, woman kan yuridu haritha dunya, you should have left the dunya, you should have then created a desire for the hereafter, Allah would have fed you then. You should have desired the harvest in the life to come. Automatically the food would have gone into you, the amount that Allah Ta'ala wanted you to eat. You would never get sick, you'd never have blood pressure, and your body would stay nice and beautiful. Nobody's body is bad, whether you're fat or skinny, Allah's made you. Big or small, Allah's made you. Why do you spoil it and change it? This, that you can't, don't listen to people, oh, you're very weak or you're fat. No, I'm not like this. Allah Ta'ala's doing everything, Allah's made me like this. I'm like this, I'm just like this, there's nothing wrong with me, Allah created me like this, I'm functioning like this. So what's the point? That when the human being, he spoils his mind, remember, Allah gives food to eat, Allah enables us to eat, and He also allows us to sleep. And it's not that 6 hours, for example, 15, 20 minutes in the short time span Allah allows you to fulfill your sleep. And the rest of the time, according to Allah's desire, that you should harvest for the hereafter. Allah says the rest of the time that for him to sleep, Allah Ta'ala puts you into those actions. Yeah, to do extra work, extra effort, reciting Quran, doing hifz of Quran, memorizing Quran. We say that, I don't know how the time passes so quickly. I didn't even know that how time went so quickly. They looked in the time in the morning, so quickly the time's gone. And then we have our own timetable, don't we? That's why we don't follow that timetable. Do you understand what I'm saying? We just follow our timetables of our life and stay alive. We read Quran according to our timetable. We do worship according to our own timetable. We do dhikr according to our own timetable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a full timetable and schedule in the Quran, the prescription for the human being. In the morning, Allah says, don't do anything else in the whole Quran, just do one action. What is that? Do my dhikr in the morning, Allah says. That's it. Just remember me. Allah says, I like this. I don't like reciting Quran, do speeches and read hadith. Allah says, I like this in the morning, the whole universe. Yusabbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Allah says, the whole universe in the morning. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, everything around creation, does it worship you? Do the spiders worship you? Everything must worship you, isn't it? They remember you. Allah said, Musa, this stone you're standing on, strike your stick or staff on that rock. When he struck the rock, then he saw a spider, and in the mouth of the spider was a leaf. Then, and he said to the spider was able to speak, and Musa alayhi salam spoke, that why were you created? What do you do? The spider said that my Rabb, my Lord, he feeds me. Subhanallah. And then what do you do then? Then he said, I worship Allah, the spider said. And he said, what's your worship? He said, I send durood on the Habib of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So Allah Ta'ala says, the whole universe, this is what happens, every leaf, every particle, everything submits to me and remembers me. Subhu lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardhi wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The whole mulk wal hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Look at the dunya, look at the oceans, the fish and the frogs and the animals. There's nothing in the universe that does not remember Allah in the morning. Allah says, all creatures remember me. You are ahsan al-taqweem, O human being. I sent you in the world as superior form of creation of monkey. What actions are you running after? Wake up this time, just remember. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Just say my name and nothing else at all, Allah says. It should be my name, my personal name you should be saying now, Allah says. That this is what I like most of all, that you say my name and you say it in your heart, Allah says. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ تَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. And complete devotion. You can't find devotion. Otherwise, you can go in a room, in a corner of a room, put the light off. You won't have complete devotion, isolation, loneliness. You'll only be lonely at that time when focus 100% you put onto your heart. That is loneliness. That is isolation. That's seclusion. Yeah, you know that, Maghzub, that great verse, you come now there's loneliness. All the desires, they depart from the heart. They've departed from. So when a person goes into maraqaba, all desires, they leave. They leave the heart. And he says, come now, there's this loneliness now, there's devotion. So I've extracted everything. Complete focus at that time. Yes? Okay, here, there's a point that's coming, unique point that's coming to my mind. What do we say normally? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We say this, don't we? After that, what do we say? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. So unique point that's coming to my mind here. Unique point. That before this, that we get the path of guidance, we're saying something else to Allah. Before we ask for the straight path, we're saying something else. What are we saying? That Allah, I'm worshipping you. Who are we saying to Allah? We're saying to Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Allah, I am worshipping you. I am in your servanthood, standing in your servanthood. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And then, what does Sirat al-Mustaqim come? It comes after the first statement. So a person makes the intention, Allahu Akbar, he's praying. And he starts Surah Fatiha, Malik Yawmiddin, he praises Allah. Then he comes to the point, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Here, then the voice will come to the ear. Then Allah says, say it again. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You are lying. You are not worshipping me. You are worshipping the creation. What's around you? Subhanallah. Your salah is for the creation. Your prostration is for the creation. Until this creation, you don't extract it from inside you, the world, until you don't say la to the world, to the dunya, then your worship is not for me. And if your worship is not for me, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, then you cannot get there to the guidance and the straight path. So what we learn here, my brothers, is that this worship, to attain this, we need to do a lot of hard work and effort first. This is salah. اِهْدِنَاس. Yeah, Allah says, you're lying. Allah says, whose ibadah are you doing? Look in your heart, what are your desires? Your prostrations, what are they? Who are they for? You're submitting, your ruku, you're bowing. What is it you're doing? All of this you are doing, this is all in your brain like a computer. You are just repeating, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, ihdina siratal mustaqim. You don't know what this means. You're asking Allah for siratal mustaqim, which is the greatest achievement, the straight path, which is your objective of life, the right path, the correct path, and the straight path. And for the straight path, what do you need to do first and foremost? Subhanallah. That you need to do that ibadah, worship, that really you are worshipping Allah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So he said, okay. Then he stopped salah. He said, now, first, let me do what you're saying, Allah, first. Let me set everything correct. So where does the restriction, the barrier come to do ibadah? Say subhanallah. Where do the hurdles come from for a human being? The restrictions? The first correct that. First eliminate the hurdles. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَى. What does Allah Ta'ala say? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَى. The nafs, the desires, they restrict us. The barrier, our desires, our wants, our needs. This is makhluk. That really we are prostrating our desires. Quickly, quickly, I need to open the shop. Quickly, quickly, I need to go to work today. Quickly, quickly, I need to go and do the shopping. Quickly, quickly, I need to do this. Quickly, I need to do that. I need to teach the children. Quickly, I need to go to this place. That quickly, quickly, jaldi, jaldi, say, niya kanabdo, yi kanastain. So Allah says, you are lying. So that really the person who worships me, he worships in such a way that even if their leg is cut at that time, they don't realize. Oh, yaar, I mean, In servanthood here, do you think that servanthood and connection with Allah is a minor attainment, a minor level? That person, like, he becomes numb. He is not aware of anything that's happening around him when he is worshipping Allah. Becomes numb. To attain this level, when a person strives, works hard, then he needs a guide at the beginning of that journey. A guide. And you can't get to the level of this level without the guide, without the teacher. So then you need to strive and work hard to find the teacher. And that is called the desire of the sheikh. They're requesting Allah that you find a sheikh, a teacher. Yeah, these all hints Allah Ta'ala has given in the Quran. Iyyaka na'budu. Allah says that it doesn't come from within this statement. For example, you're in a room, and if there's a spider, or if a wasp comes into your clothes when you're sleeping, it'll cut you. Then you wake up, it'll be inside you, it'll be pestering you and biting you, and then until you don't take your kameez and your vest off, you can't get rid of it. Otherwise, you'll be inside. So such a big dunya that's embedded inside us, money, wealth, desire of the dunya, all is embedded. That's our Ramadan. That's our Hajj. That's our Umrah. Our whole life planning is wandering around, rotating around money. In this Ramadan, I'll earn this much, I'll do this much, and that I'll do this much, I've got to do this much. That's it. Just rotates in our mind. This is all the makhluk creation. Then how can you prostrate when you are like this? First, Allah said that when you come to me, say, Allahu Akbar, you raise the hands and drop them. You are detaching yourself. I'm free from the world. But you're sat here with the dunya in your heart. Sometimes it happens that the dirt of a person, it becomes apparent, isn't it? So more than that dirt that's inside you, you are buried in that, and the stench of that is very bad. When a person lies, then the angels run thousands of miles away due to his lying because of the dirt inside him. Yes, you can see that in the toilet, the stool, etc., excrement. Oh, it smells, and we run away from that. But that dirt, impurity within, which is the real dirt, that makhluk, that creation that's inside us, how will that allow us to prostrate to our Rabb? So if we don't correct our prostration, we cannot get the right path. And then what paths do we get? All the world paths. Dunya is not ihdina siratal mustaqim then. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. So servanthood is not a minor thing. خَلَقَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah said. So then Allah says, on this point what have I done? Then on this point I have made Jannah and Paradise for you, the hoors. Just on this point, that observe my servanthood in the world, be my true servant. And to be a true servant, to prepare for that, Allah has given us Iman, faith. Allah hasn't given the person who has no Iman, he won't prepare, will he? So with the person of faith, the first condition Allah has given is that to become my true servant, you recite in the kalima. After that, your journey of being my servant has started. So first Allah says, La, first eliminate everything from yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Then I'll give you Iman, Allah said. So first Allah has taken a promise from us, La, you've said La, then Iman has come to you. La ilaha. Then you will go towards Allah. No? Yes. So this journey starts from by the human being. First step, this is first step. That go to a wali Allah, a sheikh, and you clean and purify yourself inside. Then you learn to prostrate and you extract the makhluk, the creation and the world from you. Then Allah's response will come that you have done the right prostration. And this is called mi'raj. Ascension, that submit to prostration and you will attain the mi'raj, the ascension. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So my brothers, this is so easy. Allah has made it for us. Allah has kept it. It's our choice. Our choice. Allah says, Man kana, that what do you want? Allah says, Man kana yuridu haratha al-akhira. Or do you want, Man kana yuridu haratha dunya? It depends on what you want in your preparation. So now, change your mindset. That I'm going to stay alive, then I'm going to stay alive. For Allah, I'm going to stay alive. And the rest is what? That, worse, if you don't do that, then you will not have servanthood. Without servanthood, then there's a life of shame. There's no sajda, no nothing, no prostration, no worship, nothing at all. So a life without Allah is no, there's no life, no purpose. So always a person should be focused towards the hereafter. All of this Allah Ta'ala, when He gives us His ni'mas, He's given us Ramadan, He's given us great moments in Ramadan, He wakes us up, He's given us the nights. That I remember me, revive the message. That's why Ramadan has come. That make a pact and remember your promise, your pact, your path. Alasta birabbikum. Revise your promise. Revise your promise that you made a promise to me that we will be your servants, Allah, when we go to the world. We will be your slaves. We will obey you. This is correct, isn't it? That's it. Just a slight, you can say, promise to Allah. That's all. Allah, that we will live according to your decision and desire, and we will do whatever you say. Whatever you say, we will do. That's it. Then, alhamdulillah, there's no hardship, no difficulty. No difficulty at all, no problem at all. Because you are then living according to Allah Ta'ala's decisions. Allah Ta'ala is your helper then. Just like I said to you a statement, He will feed you, He will give you to drink, He will enable you to sleep, allow you to sleep. All of your desires and your needs and wants, Allah will complete them, fulfill them. You will not lose any time. If you want that this to happen, then without money, your task will be carried out. And those who have 10,000, those who achieve in 10,000, you will achieve your task in 100. So do you want the seeds or do you want the mango? Because we want to eat the mango. We don't want to count the seeds, do we? That you're just running around with money in your pocket. That if you can carry a task with 100, why are you worried about thousands? That person with 100 who can complete what he needs, why does he say that I just need 100? Oh, he says, no, if I only want to have 1,000, then I'll be a satisfied. Because he's got greed, because he's not allowed alive for Allah, because the greed of the world comes into him. When greed comes, then he runs around asking and begging, oh, Yar, oh, please give to me. He runs around asking from everybody, always. He sometimes in the name of Deen, in the name of Islam, or in the name of someone else, he just wants money to come into him somehow. That's it. The person who asks and then he uses it in the wrong way. The person who is a worldly person, then he will try all actions and excuses and present all sorts of reasons to get money. Bas, I just need money, money. Any excuse. Yes, and he'll put the deen below in priority. Yes, and sometimes just to make money or to get money, he'll demand money from you and he'll present deen as the reason. Sometimes. This happens as well. Subhanallah. So my brothers, the point is just this, that life we need to live in the right path, spend our life in the right way. Allah has given us such a valuable Ramadan, rahmah, mercy. As I said to you, my request is that Allah starts always the good things with those right at the bottom. Every day Allah Ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven and Allah announces, how does Allah start? How does Allah start? Yes, this is the glory of Allah. Allah says, is there anyone there? Is there any millionaire there? Does Allah say, is there any millionaire there? Does this voice ever come? Does Allah say, is there anyone who's a millionaire, who owns millions? Is there anyone whose factories are running? Does Allah say this? Is there any king there who's a big king and who owns all the kingdoms and lands? Is there any wealthy person? No. How does Allah start when He comes, when He calls out in the night? Allah starts from that person that all the world, the people in the world dislike the person. Nobody wants, likes that person. They don't like him, they dislike him. Yes, obviously people who have the external vision. He has no level in the world, that person. So at that time, the special time of attention, who does Allah call out? Is there any sinful person that I can forgive? Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah starts with everything with His rahmah, His mercy. Yes, Allah, has Allah made hell for us? Huh? Will Allah want us to go to hell? Allah, where does He start from? So Allah starts from the lowest level of person. The person who's sleeping, he spent day watching TV, music, singing, just wasting his time. Allah's calling him. Aha! Yes, and then Allah's calling him with His rahmah, waking him up with His mercy. That ask me, my servant, and remember another thing. That Allah's call, how will it go to waste? No way, because Allah's calling to that person. And if he tosses and turns, then it's due to that, the call of Allah, that he'll toss and turn and he'll become pious, because Allah's calling him, inviting him. So, this is the greatness of a person who's sinful. This is his achievement. So when he stands and says, once, Allah Ta'ala, I've come. Hi, hi. Imagine the scene. He says, Allah, I've come. Allah says, you've come? He says, yes, Allah, I've come. What have you brought? He says, just my sins, Allah, that's it. From top to toe, sins and nothing else. So why have you come then? Because Allah, you called me for forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. So that Allah, I'm ashamed. How could I come to you? I wasn't going to come to you. But your call, it came to me, absorbed in my mind, in my heart. I heard your call, your announcement, I'm present, Allah, I've come to you. He said, I'm scared that if this day I've come into in, that you maybe will show me the door of hell. And you'll throw me there, you'll pick me up and throw me to hell. I've got nothing. That I worship my nafs, my desires. I've never accepted you as Allah. I've never prostrated to you. Maybe I prayed Jummah, but I never used to do anything. That I could see everything, the consequences of what I was doing. And I used to prostrate to my dunya, to the world, to my money, to my wealth, and to the human beings, everyone around me. Yes, I even hit one or two, beat one or two, but now I've come to you. Allah say, okay, that was I calling you? Was I calling someone else? I was calling the muttaqis, was I? Was I calling the walis of Allah? Who was I calling? Was I calling the ghawth and the kutub? No, I was calling the sinful people, Allah says. So in the morning time, Allah Ta'ala has created an assembly, gathered an assembly when Allah comes to the lowest heaven and His message comes. For who? For the sinful people Allah comes. He calls out. So this Ramadan Allah has decorated is not for those pious, righteous people who are forgiven and who they think they're pious. No, for this reason Ramadan has started with Allah's rahmah, mercy. Allah started the month with His mercy. Because here Allah is focusing His rahmah on those people. The first, let me call out to those people. Let me wake those people up first. Let me invite those people first who are at the lower scale. Subhanallah. So those people, do they not awaken? Such people keep the fast that you'll be amazed. Isn't this the case? Yes. That's why you've kept the fast. That fast, he's also praying Taraweeh. He's also praying Taraweeh. He's standing next to you. Whose achievement is this? This is the great achievement of Allah's call, announcement. So who can say that Allah Ta'ala doesn't love the sinful people or this zulm with us, oppression? Oh, at least listen to Allah's announcement. At least take the dirt out of your ears. Allah calls you every day. But it's you who doesn't move. The whole Ramadan, what has Allah done with you? That He started it with you. That maybe you'll do tawbah and repent. Otherwise it's going today. The first third of Ramadan of mercy is going. For the sake of Allah, do tawbah, it's leaving. After a short while, the rahmah will go. Mercy will go. And the next ashra, next third of Ramadan is for the maghfirah, forgiveness. Is the third of forgiveness. For those people who in this first third, he attained Ramadan, he took the benefit of rahmah, mercy and benefited, did tawbah. Then he'll go to the next third, which is the level of maghfirah, forgiveness. What does that mean? That Allah will enable him to do those actions that earn him forgiveness. Allah won't make him do those actions that he'll come to his tawbah. No tawbah you've done already. Allah prepared you for the next ashra, for the next third. Say subhanallah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So this is Ramadan. What else is Ramadan? Praying Taraweeh? Has Allah sent us Ramadan for Taraweeh? What use does Allah have for our 20? If we don't pray 4, why will Allah make somebody pray 20? No. We're just arguing 20, someone says 18, someone says tahajjud, someone says qiyamul layl. Oh, how stupid this is. This is the real focus of Ramadan. We're not paying attention to that. They'll do tawbah, repent, and come to servanthood. Prostrate to Allah, don't prostrate to the creation. Iyyaka na'budu, don't say it wrongly, say it, don't lie. If you're honest, then Allah will always, from long time ago, He would have shown you the straight path, if you were honest. This is the reason that what we consider is the right path is not the straight path. The straight path is different. Allah says, Inamullah, in Nabeen wa Siddiqeen wa Shuhada wa Saliheen, that's the straight path. Allah says, me and you are life. We define straight path, I prayed Salah, done Hajj, got the long beard, and done a bit of tabligh, and I've worshipped, and I'm on the right path. No. This is not the right path. This is not the straight path. Why? Because your straight path should connect to who? Nabeen wa Siddiqeen wa Shuhada wa Saliheen. It should meet with them, it should relate to them, overlap with them. And their path and our path, what's the difference? Why does our lifestyle not meet with theirs? Why? Shall I tell you? It's not meeting because their path wasn't just ibadah. Their greatest practice was akhlaq, conduct, manners. Husni akhlaq, great manners and conduct. They never lied, they never did dhulam, never oppressed, never backbited, didn't consume anyone's wealth, never swore to anybody. They never oppressed anybody. If somebody oppressed, they forgave them. Always their heart was happy and empty and light. MashaAllah, has anyone got this ibadah worship? Then consider that this is not the right path you are on. The right path, the straight path is that path. The person who's got the excellent high level of conduct and manners. Your akhlaq should be improved. Your batin, inner state should be nice and clean. Then when you prostrate your umrah, your action and business, then that will become the straight path. Not from the actions that you're doing, my friends, my brothers. This is the wrong path. This path is wrong. Why? For this reason. Because we have not done, we haven't asked Allah for Aidana Sirat Muslim, we haven't been honest, we haven't prepared. Yes, if you went to a Wali Allah and you had spent your life properly, done mujahidat and lived a pure life, and you would also always oppose your nafs, your desires, and done mujahidah, hard work, then alhamdulillah. Today you would have got the right path. And the sign of the straight path is what? The straight path. Yeah, Allah shown the signs of it. Allah shown the signs of the straight path. The person who's on the straight path, Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Mushuda, what is the path of the Nabiyeen? What is the path of the Siddiqeen? The person, whoever's on the straight path, whoever tried to go on the straight path, and he will, the first thing you will see in him is ittiba'i Rasul, obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will see in the imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. And the sunnahs of Rasulullah, he will have so much from his tariqah, he will have so much that, without the sunnah, he will not be able to live his life. His salah will be in the libas, the appearance, the dress code, the appearance, whatever the Prophet loved, he will also like. When, for example, you have the excuses from the sunnah, when you dislike the sunnah, that Nabi that we say that we love, when we start making excuses, when our heart doesn't feel like practicing the sunnah, when you don't feel like mentally practicing sunnah, when you start to shake inside and you start to make excuses and you feel ashamed and you say it's not necessary, you say it's not necessary, then that is not iman, then la yu'minu ahadukum akuna. That is a hadith of Mishkat. Where the Prophet said that person doesn't have iman until he doesn't love me more than everything, until he doesn't love me more than his parents, his children, and everything in creation. So this is the desires, these are the desires that the Prophet mentioned specifically in this day. These are the desires of a human being that we prostrate to, until you don't cut them from your heart, detach them from your heart, until my love doesn't overwhelm everything around you, then you don't have the deen, you don't have iman, then what sajda will you do? Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So deen, the practice, the deen in sequence, the signs will continue to come. Have we got the true deen? Are we on the right path? Allah Ta'ala has given the signs. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Allah says, if you want my love, if you want my love, then you pray salah for salah and you claim that you are the lover of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you are the lover of Allah, and that you can do ziyarah and you are seeing dreams and you feel good emotions and I'm praying tahajjud, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. The my beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you tell your people that yourself, that before they claim my love, first thing, that are you practicing my Nabi sunnahs? Do you ever think about the sunnah that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like this, I'll do this as well? Sunnah is not done by force. You can't be forced. Because Allah's love, if you want Allah's love, then Allah is demonstrating the path of His love. It's not by force. What do we say? Oh, yaar mama, if you wear too much, it'll become fard. People say this. Imagine this statement. That if you wear the imamah too many days, too many times, then it doesn't remain sunnah. It'll be included as a fard. It'll become fard. It'll become this. And those things that you do, other actions, you've never focused on them, worried about those actions. The opposite. No, do this. Just do as much as the Prophet did, no more than that. This is the path of love. This is the path of love. How can a person leave the path of love? There's no barrier to the path of love. There's no generation. There's no geographical limitation. No country. No boundary. No limit. Wherever that person is, he's in the lifestyle of the sunnah. Not this, he's in Makkah, you'll get it. You'll only get Medina in Pakistan or in Dubai or in Baruch or Gujarat. No. The lifestyle of the Prophet is the same everywhere, wherever you go. If you're traveling in the plane, it's the same lifestyle. If you are in the ship boat, the same lifestyle. Everywhere he's shining, glowing, same way. So this is Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And to attain this, what do we need to do? You need to take the company of a Wali Allah. Qunu masadiqeen, Allah says. Qunu masadiqeen. And then the lifestyle, he will make you, enable you, he'll teach you the method, and he will introduce you to Allah as well. Subhanallah. So we don't want to do this. Anyway, time is finishing for me to speak now. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Now let's do dhikr for a short while. What time does the fast break today? What time? 29? Okay. Fine. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, ability that we understand what is Ramadan, the month of Allah's mercy is going. What should we do in this month? Tawbah. We should repent. Whoever has not repented, do tawbah, repent, do true tawbah. Okay? Otherwise, the mercy will go. If you don't obtain the mercy, then you won't do the actions of forgiveness in the next third of Ramadan. Then you'll waste the time as well, and you'll waste Ramadan. Then if this Ramadan is gone, then man salamati Ramadan, whoever has passed Ramadan with salamat in a good way, nice way, then what is the good, great guarantee Allah Ta'ala is giving? That today if you've done tawbah, prevented Ramadan, the rest of the year Allah will give you tawfiq to do tawbah. Subhanallah. Yes, you can. A human being does commit sins. You know, angel will sin again, will do wrong again. But today's tawbah result will be the rest of the year. Allah Ta'ala gives guarantee that I will enable you, allow you to continue to do tawbah. So do tawbah. So this is going. How many? Just a few hours left. That's it. Do tawbah, repent. Allah says that then I will live, you will live your life according to my decisions and pleasure. So the rest of the year, I guarantee that you will be able to do tawbah and you will live the life of forgiveness. Okay, and there's another point. What does this mean, the rest of the year? 1 year? No. Why? Because we don't know about our life or death. When's death going to come? We don't know. Do you know when you're going to die? You don't know. So Allah Ta'ala has called it, defined it as the next year, during the year. That means that whenever your death comes, that you will have a nice and good death, salamat death. You will have a guarantee for death as well, Allah is giving here. And this is such a great, my heart's opened up so much now that all the dangers have gone. All dangers, Allah Ta'ala has given all the solutions to all the threats in Ramadan. Imagine this, the whole life solution, framework, schedule, hisab and balance Allah's point. This ashrad, if you do tawbah today, you repent today, full guarantee that inshallah, direct you will go to paradise, direct. What a great guarantee Allah is giving. That today if you repent, full guarantee Allah Ta'ala gives that you will go to paradise and you will have the rest of your life and year will be with salamat. I will enable you to do tawbah and definitely, obviously, you will go into paradise straight. And you are going to die next year maybe, who knows if you're going to be here or not. You don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, recite the rusul.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا أما أن تقبل منا إنك أنت سبيل اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارضنا تقبل منا وادخلنا جنة الفردوس منا يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم إنك غفور تحب العفافون يا كريم اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وصفاتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيهم صدقين وشهداء وصالحين. ایک صاحب کا آپریشن ہو رہا ہے اس وقت, ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے, اللہ ان کے آپریشن کو کامیابی فرمائے اور ان کو صحت مند کرے. رسول اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ خیر خلقہ محمد وعلیہ وسلم اجمعین برحمتہ یا ارحم الراحمین.